Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another edition of Dr. Wenda Speaks the Word. We are going through a series of lessons dealing with the theology of time. And today, we're going to look a little bit about the era of the monarchies. We're going to look, and I'm going to present information pre-flood as well as after flood, but to get a more detailed account of the theology of time, please let us know that you're interested in purchasing the book, which is going to be available for sale later on this year. If you want a copy of the book entitled The Theology of Time, send your request to Reflection Ministries International, that's I-N-T-L, at gmail.com. And as soon as the book is released for sale, we will get in contact with you and you will be able to be one of the first people to get the book, the Theology of Time. Some of the topics that's going to be discussed in the book is the beginning of time, God repented, time of a faithful servant, time of the monarchy, where I'm going to touch on today, reconciliation, the era of the church, and much, much more. But what we're going to do now is go before the throne of God, and we're going to afterwards, then we're going to get into our lesson for today. Father God that sits on the throne, and Jesus, your only begotten Son, and the precious Holy Spirit, we come before you. We thank you for another opportunity to share your word, to share the rhema knowledge of your word. Lord, bless every single hearer of this broadcast. Let the words be of encouragement and knowledge and information and confirmation to them in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. I am Dr. Wenda. I am the pastor of Reflection Ministries International. And today we're going to look at the topic called Time of Monarchy, which is also the time of the kings. So I'm going to present a portion of what is included in the book of the theology of time. The time of the monarchy is defined as the period in history where the form of government was ruled by kingship. When most Christians think of monarchy, they reflect on the Hebrew kings such as King David and King Solomon. And people who are alive today, we think about the monarchy of the Queen in England. But there were kings and kingdoms established long before them. There were cities built long before the flood. You're familiar with the flood that's written in Genesis, where God told Noah to build an ark. In chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, the beginning, the Bible states God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God brought order to a dark and empty place over 4.6 billion years ago. The Bible states in Genesis, the first chapter, verses 26 through 31, God says, "Let us make man in our image." after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, fowl, the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God said to them, and them is male and female, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And replenish is defined as to fill up again and subdue it and have dominion. Humans lived on the earth with a specific command from God to multiply, subdue, and have control. In Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verse 1, the Bible states, thus the heavens and the earth was finished, and all the host of them. Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verse 1, states, thus the heavens and the earth was finished, and all the host of them. What is host of them? Host of them are the people and animals that dwell on, in, and above the earth. According to the Bible, God created man on the 6th day of creation. We also see in chapter 2 of Genesis where God planted a garden eastward in Eden. He planted a garden eastward in Eden. Eden existed before the Garden of Eden. I want you to be with me. Eden existed before the Garden of Eden. So who was in Eden? Who was in Eden? We would have to go back to Genesis, the 1st chapter, when God said in the 1st chapter, towards the end, around the 30th, 31st verse, God said to them, male and female, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He's talking to the people that was made on that 6th day. And I know it's going to be hard for you all to comprehend this, but he was telling them to replenish the earth. I don't know what happened before and why God used the word replenish, but it was used in Genesis, the 1st chapter. And he was talking to them, male and female, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, not the garden, but the earth, and subdue it and have dominion. This is recorded in chapter 1 of Genesis. So when we say, where was Eden? Eden was the result of what happened on that 6th day of creation when God gave the commandment to male and female, be fruitful and multiply and replenish to fill up again the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Now, we see that took place in Genesis, the 1st chapter. In Genesis, the 2nd chapter, the Bible in verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Where was the garden? The garden was in the east part of Eden. Eden was established. Eden had people, E-D-E-N, had people. But God planted a garden eastward in Eden, on the east part of Eden. And there he put the man whom he formed named Adam. In Genesis, the second chapter, verses 10 through 14, it says, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Where did the river come out of? The river came out of Eden. Eden was a place. And eastward in Eden was a garden. From hence he, well, it was parted and became into four heads. So we see that there was a river, according to Genesis, the second chapter, a river went out of Eden, a location where people were, to water the Garden of Eden, the special place that God put man, and later he created woman for the garden. Now, it says, and hence, it was parted and became into four heads. Let me repeat this again. So there was a river that went out of a location called Eden, and the river watered the garden where Adam was. And when the river came out of Eden, it separated into four different rivers. The name of the first is Pison. That the whole land of Hivalah, it compassed the whole land of Hivalah. And the Bible says that there was gold in that land. And the name of the second river was Gihon. And the same is that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Now, also it says, and the third river, Hiddekel, that goes towards the east of Assyria. It didn't say that it camped around about. It didn't say that it went around Assyria. It said that the river goes towards the east part of Assyria. And then the fourth river is the Euphrates. See, a river went out of Eden. Eden was a place that had a river. And the river watered the Garden of Eden, located in the eastern part of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a place of paradise established for a man named Adam and woman named Eve. Adam chosen to be the man to walk and talk with God, dress and to keep the garden. In Genesis, the second chapter, verse 15, it reads, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. In Genesis, the third chapter, verse 8, the Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the voice of the Lord God. God communicated with them. God knew, they knew God's voice. And that's important to remember in this special place that we know as the Garden of Eden, that God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, walked in the garden, gave Adam instructions to dress it and to keep it, and that Adam as well as woman knew God's voice, and God communicated with them. The Bible states the river that went out of Eden divided into four parts, going into four different directions. This gives a geological location, geographical location for Eden. This lets us know that Eden existed. The country of Eden existed. Now, some scholars suggest Eden's location could be at the head of the Persian Gulf in southern Mesopotamia, which is now known as Iraq, where the Tigris and Euphrates rivers are. That's what some scholars are saying. But based upon the locations of the rivers, we can state without a shadow of a doubt that Eden existed. And we could say around where Eden existed at that time. We also know that rivers are essential to civilizations, both in pre-flood and post-flood eras. See, the Bible speaks in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 10, and a river went out of Eden. Civilizations existed outside of the garden, but remember, the Garden of Eden was important. It was a place where God and man could communicate, where man obeyed God and lived in a self-sustaining environment with both woman and animals until sin entered the garden. Sin is not welcome in the presence of God because God sent Adam and woman out of the garden. The self-sustaining environment that Adam was used to in the garden was no more. God put them out of the garden, which was eastward of Eden. Adam had to till the ground. Refer to Genesis, the third chapter, verse 23. Now, outside the garden, God still maintained communication with Adam's seed. Adam's seed offered offerings to God. In Genesis, the fourth chapter, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, Adam's firstborn son, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? In Genesis, the fourth chapter, verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And God said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Because of the actions of Cain, God told Cain he was cursed from the earth, and the earth would not yield her strength, and he would be a vagabond and a fugitive. That the earth is not going to produce the quality of food that you used to the earth producing. Cain was a fugitive because he murdered. He committed a crime of murder. In Genesis, the fourth chapter, verse 16, Cain went out from God's presence to live in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now, we have two locations now. We know that the Garden of Eden was in the east part of Eden. Now, we know, and we've been introduced to a land called Nod, N-O-D, which was on the east side of Eden, which is a geographical location. And it was there where he met his wife. So there were people in the land of Nod. There were people outside of the Garden of Eden. Go back to Genesis, the first chapter. When God spoke to them, male and female, to replenish the earth, Cain was with the assistance of others, built a city called Enoch. So we see a city that the Bible is calling Enoch. The civilizations that already existed. And there were some civilizations that already existed before the flood, like Atlantis. I know you all have heard of Atlantis. That's a legendary pre-flood civilization that was built on highly advanced science and technology, pre-flood. Now, let's go back to Cain. Cain. Cain with his assistance of others around him built a city called Enoch. This was not Enoch that walked with God recorded in Genesis, because in the Bible you will often see names, the same name at different points in history. In Genesis, we're talking about Enoch, which is the name of a city that Cain built. The Bible mentions Cain's lineage in Genesis chapter 4, verses 18 through 24. Based on historians, they have discovered a civilization called Sumer, S-U-M-E-R. And they say that's the earliest known civilization in the historical region of South Mesopotamia. Between the 6th and the 5th millennium B.C., which is before Christ. And we see, based upon the historians, the Sumerians were farmers and grew an abundance of grain and other crops, and the surplus from which enabled them to form urban settlements. They have found, archaeologists have found pottery, they have found tablets, they have found different things from pre-flood existence that can be dated back before the flood. We must realize that there were others, but even though there were others in the Bible, they always draw our attention to those that walked and talked with God. And we today must also walk and talk with God. There were people before the flood, and there were people after the flood. There were civilizations and kingdoms and monarchies before the flood and also after the flood. To get more information about the pre-flood monarchies, I need you to purchase the book on the time of theology, where more information is provided based upon facts that there were civilizations in existence, that there were kingdoms, there were monarchies in existence prior to the flood. God said to Moses that what he is seeing is a bunch of evil. So it was people here. They were doing everything that seemed right in their own eyes, and there was evil going on. But that's in another chapter. Let's look at some of the post-flood monarchies and kingdoms. I'm only going to mention just a couple, because to get more information, you need to go to and sign up for the book, The Theology of Time. Monarchies existed hundreds, even thousands of years after the flood, before the first king of Israel is presented to us in the Bible. The Bible records Gentile nations with kingdoms established after the flood. For example, Japheth. You may say, who is Japheth? He is one of Noah's sons. And his seed made up the isles of the Gentiles, according to Genesis, the 10th chapter, verse 5. The son, Javan, is listed in the Bible as the fourth son. His seed is associated with the people that live in modern Cyprus. And then as we go on to another one of Noah's children, we talk about one son, Japheth. Now, another son was Ham. And Ham's descendants also established kingdoms and monarchies, such as Babel, ruled by Nimrod. The kingdom of Babel is known for the Tower of Babel, mentioned in Genesis, the 11th chapter. Another kingdom was Nineveh. We associate with Jonah in the belly of the fish. The family of Canaan, which is part of Ham's seed, includes kings and kingdoms of the Jebusites, Amorites, Hivites, and all of the other and other Hivites. Now, some of the famous Canaanite kings that you may remember is King Bera and King Bersha, kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's another king that came from Ham's seed, and that's King Melchizedek of Salem. And what makes this king so important is that he was not just over the kingdom of Salem, but he was a priest of God. So he held the king position, and he also held the priest position. This is in Genesis, the 14th chapter, verse 18. And we see that there's also kings that came out of Shem, which is Noah's son. And Shem's descendants brings us to King David. That brings us to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. All came from Shem, S-H-E-M seed, which was one of Noah's sons. This is just a little bit of information contained in the book, The Theology of Time. Please register by going to Reflection Ministries International INTL and request your copy of the book that's coming out this year, The Theology of Time. There's so much information in this book that you're going to say, wow, I am so glad that I purchased this book. We have biblical truths. We have archaeological findings. We have geographical locations. We are just presenting to you a host of facts concerning civilization, concerning people that God placed on this earth to get us to where we are today. And we can learn from Theology of Time. And one thing that we can learn is that things that happened in the past, some of them are being repeated now. And we get to see when we study history that we can make different choices so we don't end up like what has happened to others. So thank you for joining in and listening to our broadcast today. I can only encourage you to sign up to receive The Theology of Time, a wealth of information for you that you can include in your Bible study lessons, in your pastoral teachings, in your Sunday school, in your youth training sessions, to understand the study of time as it relates to biblical truth. Again, this is Pastor Wenda, the pastor of Reflection Ministries International. I'm so glad that you tuned into our broadcast today. There, we'll tune in again to another broadcast where we continue with the topic, the theology of time. And we will have another lesson for you on Thursday at 12 noon. I'm so glad that you took the time to listen to this broadcast. May God bless you. May God strengthen you. May God's face smile upon you. The more we know, the more we can share with others about the truth in the Bible. God bless you. Bye-bye.